I'm good, no, don't give me ice, I'm good.
It is Tavir together on Hashanah Rabbah. And Baruch Hashem, an opportunity for us. There's a lot of new chaver here tonight. So for those who are new, so Baruch Hashem, every Thursday night we get together to learn the Piaget's Torah. We're learning Sefer B'nai Machshava Tova. We began it a little bit over a year ago.
We've gone through it three times,
Baruch Hashem. the Piaget's said it should take a couple of weeks. It's taken us a little bit over a year, but we're still not finished. But actually tonight, the Meretz Hashem, we're going to close out. We're not going to finish, but we're going to close out a very important section. So again, hopefully everyone has this Sfarim over here, but if anyone wants a Sefer, there's also handouts. Again, we're going to be going through a couple of pieces tonight, and a tremendous Yashar Koach to Tzvi. Tzvi, the spread here tonight, absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Chavi, you should just know, this is the second shift. You should have seen what we had at Dafyomi. It was actually the same thing. Right? But more of it.
There was one at Dafyomi.
There was one at Dafyomi, it's true. But Tzvi, thank you. On behalf of the entire shir, thank you so much. Really incredible and beautiful, magnificent.
Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, Steve with the sponsors.
Got to find them first. Okay, sponsored by Lou Goldberg. In honor of the yard sale of his grandmother, Chai Rivka Basarudu. His yard sale is on tonight, tomorrow, Hashanah Rabbah, and the Shamash and Aliyah. It's Ron Beth Blumen, Mazel Tov. In honor of the engagement of their son, Oren.
Oh, Mazel Tov. Mazel
Tov. Thank you.
Mazel Tov. And Shachar Schneiderman, Zechariah Nishmas, Edel Rivka Bashmuel Mordechai. It's a chus, Shidduch for Yisachar and Naftali ben Edel Rivka.
Shkoya. All right, Techav, a tremendous shkoya to all of our sponsors. Shkoya to Bsi for the beautiful spread. To Steve for being our Sarah Mashkim. A tremendous shkoya as well. And I will say, just beautiful, beautiful to spend Hoshana Rabba night here. And of course, always so special to have Rebelli with us. Baruch Hashem, who takes everything that we do and just lifts it up just to a totally different level. So I will say, so we're going to continue tonight to Meretz Hashem. We're picking up tonight on page 52. In section Yudalev. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit. So if you remember again, the Sefer B'nei Machshava Tov. So just like an intro to those maybe who aren't yet learning with us every week on this. So the Piagetsna Sefer B'nei Machshava Tov was a reactive Sefer. Piagetsna was approached by a group of his Talmidim who wanted to go ahead and figure out a way to grow as a chevra. They recognized that the ability to grow as part of a group is so much greater than any level of growth you could do as an individual. So they wanted to form a chevra, and again, also when you have a chevra, you're able to hold each other accountable for things. You're able to hold each other accountable for things. So they asked the Piagetsna, to go ahead and create for them a model, like a plan for how they are supposed to grow as a chevra. So I will say, let's move that. Let's move that. Either just put it on my lap. Just put it on my lap. Very good. So the ice is like the bane of my existence. Either I don't have it. If I have it, it's... All right, so they came to the Piagetsna and said to the Piagetsna, Rabbi, make for us a safer, make for us a model of growth. So I will say, that model is this Sefer B'nei Machshava Tova. So if you remember, again, we've been going through different pieces. In this last section that we began a couple of weeks ago, the Piagetsna is kind of highlighting a couple of important pieces that he spoke about earlier on the Sefer that he's now coming along and reinforcing and reviewing a little bit. So really, in this part of the Sefer, the Piagetsna is going through the Ikarin, the primary pieces that should be part of the Chevra. Now, I will tell you, so we're coming to the end of this section. Hopefully, we'll try to finish it tonight. Emir Hashem, let's begin section Yud Aleph, page 52. Again, there are still Sfarim over here. If anyone wants a Sefer, an actual Sefer to look at, plenty of Sfarim or handouts. Page 52. Writes the Piagetsna, Talmud Tanakh. The Rebbe says, Mishnayis Gimara, Zara Kadosh, Talmud Tanakh, Mishnayis Gimara, Zara Kadosh Medrash Be'ikr, Asheb Chalavas Mehem Nimsa Ish Shalmailo, Lichlos as a Sitra Achra Hasoveves Osach Umiskarabacha. So Piagetsna says, first of all, a person has to have a well balanced diet in Torah. A person has to be able to have a well balanced diet. Why? Because what the Piagetsna is highlighting over here is that every single thing that we learn gives us or provides us with another and additional source of strength. So there's Gemara, there's Tanakh, there's Mishnayis, there's Zohar, there's Medrash, right? And each of these need to be part of my daily spiritual diet in order to bolster me with all of the necessary koach I need to be able to go ahead and fight off all of the different pushes and pulls and drives that I have to combat on a daily basis. The Rebbe says, "Umisha tar b'madrigaso, b'yom echad lo yuchal lilmot es kol niskalel." So it's interesting what I'm saying. What happens if a person says, you know what, I'd love to learn all of this, but I can't fit all of this into one day. I can't do all of this one day. Piagetsna says, okay, what do you do? Yichalkim liyamei ha-shavua. Split it up amongst the different days of the week. It's okay, you don't have to do every single day all of these things. Split it up, make for yourself a schedule throughout the week. L'mashal, Dal Yom B'Shavua, you learn Gemara. 4 days a week, you learn Gemara. Beis Yom and Medrash. In other words, whatever schedule you set up, Piaget says, make sure that you have a well-rounded Torah diet. Again, I will say, the fact that a person has to learn the different areas of Torah, so that's not a chiddush. I want to learn everything. But the Maaseh, what the Piaget is highlighting, I will say, is that every single chelik of Torah endows you with a different dimension of spiritual strength. And I need all of those dimensions of strength in order to fight my demons, in order to fight my battles. So a person might say, I learn Gemara every single day. That's beautiful. So you have a koach from Gemara, but you don't have the koach from Tanakh. You don't have the koach from Mishnah. You don't have the koach from Medrash. You don't have the koach from Zohar. We'll come back to Zohar in just a moment. Every single chelik of Torah that I learn endows me with the necessary koach to be able to fight my battles. He says, "Bosay, this is incredible. Tilmot Sifrei Chasidus Kigon Shlo, Sifrei Maral, Sifrei Chasidim Harishon Kigon Shlo Magid Agodol Zatzal, Noam Eli Melech, Magid Mikoshnitz, Imre Divrei Eli Melech, Beis Aron V'chulei." So the Piyajesna says a person also has to learn Chasidus every single day if possible. And again, he's quoting over here again the sermon from the great Chasidic masters. I will say now, here's the incredible part, and I want to give a disclaimer: if you are not the Chasid in your heart, you're going to find this. This is going to separate the Chasidim from the Misnagdim, right? If the next line bothers you, come see me after the shir. Right? You're going to need a couple of private sessions. If the next year speaks to you in the Shema, then you are a Chasid of the Piaget. Look at what the Rebbe says. He says, "Vafilu im yeshnam dvarim she'inat hamavinim." So I will say, sometimes people start learning Chasidus and they're like, "I learned the piece, and I have no idea what it's talking about." No idea. I had a chavrusa of mine, a good friend of mine. So he heard, you know, you're always quoting from Kiddush HaSlevi. So he decided to go out by himself a Sefer Kiddush HaSlevi. He called me up. It was Sefer, I remember it was Bereshis last year. He's like, "I read it. I have no idea what this is talking about," he said. I said, "I know. Wasn't it incredible? Wasn't it incredible?" He said, "No, I said, I didn't have any idea." So I was like, but the Piyajetna says it like this. Chasidus is part of the Pnimiya Satorah. There's Torah that is Torah chitzonius, not chitzonius in a bad way, but like Torah that appeals to the intellect, and Torah that speaks to the neshama. So a person learns a blat gemara and you don't understand. I'll tell you something interesting. I took my students from YMC to see the Rosh Hashiva, the Rav Aaron Feldman, before Rosh Hashanah. So the Rosh Hashiva asked to give a shir to the boys. He said, "I don't want to give a shir." He said, "I want to have to prepare." I told him, "I don't think you have to prepare. Like, I think you're going to be all right with whatever you have." Right? But he Dafka wanted to do a question and answer with the boys. That's how he wanted. He likes doing question and answer. And he said to the boys, "Ask me anything. Ask me anything." So one of the boys stood up. He said, "I have to tell Rosh Yeshiva, I don't like Gemara at all. I don't like Gemara at all. And we learn a lot of Gemara. He said, "Did the Rosh Yeshiva always like Gemara as a boy?" So the Rosh Yeshiva said something amazing. He said, "Let me ask you." He said, "When you learn Gemara, do you understand everything that you're learning?" And the boy said, "No." The Rosh Yeshiva says, "Of course you don't like it. No one likes learning something they don't understand. It's not that you don't like Gemara. Not you like Gemara. You don't like spending your time on something that you're not chapping. You don't like spending your time on something that you can't, you're not walking, there's no tefis, you're not grasping anything." He said, "If you learn and you chazer and you analyze and you could be kone, you feel like I own this, then you enjoy Gemara." Well, say, and that's why so many of us growing up it's so funny, right? Tana, you learn Daf Yomi is the best thing in the world. Like growing up, many of us really disliked Gemara. It's sad to say, but really disliked Gemara. Why? It's a very simple distinction, because now I understand it. Back then, I often didn't understand it. So you can't like something you don't understand. I will say, that only applies to things you learn with your mind. Things that you learn with your neshama, you don't have to understand it in order to be able to get an incredible gishmak from it. Chasidus is not learned with the mind. Chasidus is learned with the heart, is learned with the soul. And as such, you could learn a piece of chasidus, and even though your mind does not grasp one piece of it, your soul feels profoundly uplifted by it. And if you don't understand what I'm saying, it's possible, it's probably because you've been learning Chassidus in the wrong way. The best thing you could ever do is you sit down with the Kiddush HaSlevi, you open up the Sefer, and don't even try to understand. just read the Rebbe's words. Just read the Rebbe's words. See, this sefer is different because this type of sefer is written dafka to understand. So this is not like a classic Hasidic work. But you look in the Hasidic greats, and often again, their words are mysterious. Their words are often ambiguous. They're shrouded in so many references to, or embedded in so many references to Zohar. You read it, like, I can't translate it, I don't understand what it's saying. That's because you're learning it with your mind. You have to learn it with your heart. You have to learn it with your soul. And that's how Chassidus fundamentally changes you. So the Rebbe says over here, look what he writes. He says, Vafilu, two lines up from the bottom, page 52. Vafilu, im yeshnam dvarim she'en atom avinam, gam kein al tanach yadcha mehem. Even if you don't understand what it is that you're learning, don't stop. Don't stop. And that was, you know, what Rabbi Nachman said, what do you do if you're learning something? Rabbi Nachman said, even about Gemara, he said, what do you do if you get to a piece of Gemara, you don't understand it? What do you do? The Rebbe said, just keep going. He says, it's okay, you'll understand it the next time you see it in Shas. Now, of course, that presupposes that a person is finishing everything on a pretty regular basis. And I will say, but the beauty in Chassidus is there's a recognition that even what the heart doesn't, what the mind doesn't understand, the heart absorbs. The heart absorbs. You know, I'll say, it's almost like, I'll give you like Lahavdil, you know, if a person is blessed with a child, so if your baby is crying, you see, especially with mothers, right? If a baby is crying, the mother understands exactly what the baby needs, right? But yet, if someone else hears that same baby crying, the other person's like, what's going on over here? Why? Because a mother is in tune to the baby's cry, even because that cry, it's not talking to the mind. The cry is talking to the heart. Chassidus talks to the mind also, but the primary impact of Chassidus is on the heart. So it says the Rebbe, learn Chassidus every day. And even if you don't understand everything that you're learning, it's okay. Just keep going. Kevin Sha'al Kalpanim, as Darkam Derech HaKodesh, page 53, Derech HaChassidus Bahen, Atamevin Kefi Yecholascha. You do the best that you can. You absorb with your mind whatever you can, and your heart absorbs the rest. V'chutz mizeh, Dvarim ba'atzma, listen to this, Divrayim ba'atzmam, V'ruach kodsham shebahem, Yidbikhu b'cha. I'll say that's it. Here the Rebbe says it. Even if you don't understand it with your mind, ultimately, again, they're holy words. The spirit of Kiddush Rabosai will cling to it. We'll say, I can't stress this enough. You know, we'll say, we on one hand, you know, it's interesting that, you know, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, gave a shmooze like this. He actually was written up. He spoke about the idea that we live, and again, this is already dated. This is probably going back about 20, 30 years. He said, you know, we live in an age of highly intellectualized Judaism, you know, which means that Baruch Hashem, we're very into learning, right? If you think about our generation with all the problems, there's an unprecedented access to Torah knowledge. You can learn anything and everything you want, whenever you want, however you want, whatever language you want. So Rav Aaron said, there's something that's lost. He gives a ray. He says, you know, if you ask a girl today, a typical girl, Beis Yaakov, day school, goes to seminary. You ask her, why do you light Shabbos candles? So she's going to rattle off a whole bunch of stuff. Zachar, Shamar, Shalom, Bayis, dun, dun, dun. You ask a woman 30 years ago, why do you light Shabbos candles? What would she say?
My mother
lit Shabbos candles. Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik called this the mimetic tradition. The mimetic tradition. That the way Yiddishkeit was passed down throughout the generations was, I do this because my parents did this. I like candles. My mother liked candles. I go to shul in the morning because my father went to shul in the morning. That's what I do. So on one hand, there's a beauty in the proliferation of knowledge that we have. On the other hand, there's a little bit of the tamimus kite that's missing. I remember when I was little, so we used to go to my grandparents after the war came to this country. They settled in Vineland, New Jersey. Vineland, New Jersey. And so my cousins and my brother and I, we didn't go to camp. We went to Vineland for the summer. That was it. That was Camp Bubby and Zay. That was it. My grandfather, who was a Talmud Chacham, used to learn with us every morning. He would learn Mishnayos with us. We were little kids. And I remember when everyone asked him a question, right? Zaydi, why is this? Why is that? He would always give the same answer. Shtayt Netayra. That's what it says. When I was little, I used to think maybe he just didn't know the answer. And then as I got older, I realized he was trying to teach us something. We do what we do because that's what the Torah tells us to do. The reasons come later on. You can get into the reasons. That's later on. But the foundation is shtayt in the Torah. Right? The foundation is I am a soldier of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks me to do, that's what I do. Because primarily, my Yiddishkeit lives in my heart, not in my mind. One of the greatest challenges, and you see a swing back to this now, that's why the whole Neo-Hasidus and everything, there's such a gravitation to Hasidus, because ultimately it's a reaction to the hyper-intellectualization of Yiddishkeit, which on one hand has many beautiful benefits, but there's something lost. There's something lost. And I'll tell you, when my boys were home, they were telling me what they were learning in Yeshiva, and they were telling me, I'll tell you this, great job, Chaim, da-da-da-da. I'm listening to it, and I'm absorbing it, and I said to my sons, I was going to tell you, I know it's a chisaron in me, but I don't know. It's not doing it for me. It's not doing it. I know it's a chisaron in me. Right? I should get a little bit more excited about the lumdus. But I think as I get older and my intellect is dulled, my heart becomes a little bit more in tune than on fire. I said, do you have a vart? Like, no, we're learning Kol. We're not a vart. So the point that the Rebbe is making, or I will say, is when you learn Chassidus, even if you don't understand things with your mind, the heart understands and absorbs everything. He says, and when you learn it, v'tetar, learning Chassidus purifies you. Tilmod gam ma'at sifrei HaKabbalah. So we'll say, again, I want to be clear. A person should not walk away from this thinking, okay, all I have to do is open up Sifrei Chassidus, read it for a half hour, have no idea what's happening, you go, right? And then I'm good to go, right? No, that's incorrect. In other words, you have, like the Rebbe is saying, you have to have a well-balanced diet. You have to have Daf Yomi. Chevra, everyone needs Daf Yomi. Just ask Daf Yomi, Chevra. Everyone needs Daf Yomi. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's the greatest Mechayiv in the world. A Mishnah Yomi, a Nach Yomi, whatever other Yomis you want to throw in there. A person needs to have a well-balanced diet. But don't just feed the mind. Make sure to feed the heart with Chassidus as well. He goes on, he says, furthermore, Tilmo gam ma'at sifrei HaKabbalah, shakal ponem lo tiye bohem bor va'amaris legamrei, ha-sefer sheshefatal tovlecha. So we'll say, okay, he also quotes over here, the Rebbe suggests that every person should learn a little bit of Kabbalah as well. At least that a person should be holding in it to some degree, have some level of connection. Fine. So we'll say, so that's section Aleph. Section Aleph is well-balanced spiritual diet. A person can't solely devote themselves to one area of Torah, but rather a person has, listen, I'll tell you something, I've had multiple starts on this, but it is, I know if you're a product of the yeshiva system like me, it's almost guaranteed you never learn Navi. You never learn Navi. I started learning Navi. I'm like, wow, where did all this information come from? Like, this is fantastic. Let's say, a parak a day of Navi, I don't mean even with Mefarshim. No Mefarshim. Just to read the storyline. Just to become familiar with literally Jewish history and understand the progression of Yiddishkeit from the time, from the close of Zos HaBracha, right, through, again, the Shoftim, through the Malachim. It's incredible. It's incredible. 6 minutes a day, you could do a parak. And again, really, no Mefarshim. Just psukim themselves. Get a well-balanced diet of Yiddishkeit. Good. Yud Beis. I will say, this is an incredible piece. Get ready for this. Yud Beis. Page 53, Yud Beis. Ma'od Mod. And Chevra, those of you who aren't regulars at the Shir, the beauty of what we're doing tonight is these are self-contained lessons. So even if you missed the last year or so, again, each of these pieces are self-contained. They're treasures. Look what the Rebbe writes. Ma'od Mod have a zar shlo telech batel afrega. Do not waste any time. The Rebbe says, do not be bottle. Bottle means don't do nothing. I will say, this is a tall order. The Rebbe is saying, don't even waste one moment of time. Listen to what he writes. Ten minutes of batala should be like the commission of a serious avera. I will say, isn't this incredible? Now, by the way, if you remember again, the Rebbe spent a significant amount of time speaking about this concept of maximizing time, and ultimately utilizing time to its fullest. But here I will say, he's saying it in such a different way. 10 minutes of wasted time. Well, so you know what 10 minutes is? What's 10 minutes? 10 minutes is like 3 YouTube videos, right? Right? Ten minutes is what? How many messages on TikTok or Instagram? Right? 10 minutes in today's day and age, right, goes by like nothing. The Rebbe says 10 minutes of wasted time should be like the most severe avera. Ba'ad batala ata mishayim b'chayecha. Listen to this, what I'll say. For the sin of batala, you pay with your life. Now, what does it mean for the sin of batal, for the sin of wasting time, pay with your life? Ki azman shebitalta chelik shel shnos chayecha. We'll say, this is incredible. That's not a punishment. When the Rebbe says, for wasted time you pay with your life, that's not a punishment. Rather, what is it? What is it? Yeah. It's a consequence. It's a description of what it means to waste time. We'll say, what am I doing when I'm wasting time? I'm literally wasting moments of my life. Time is the most precious, finite, non-renewable resource. And when I waste it, literally, ki azman shebitalta chelik shoshnos chayecha haya chalav avar. There's years or whatever, there's minutes, hours, whatever amount of time it is that are part of your life that are gone. And they're gone forever. Velo tichye bo'od. Now let's say, you know what the incredible part is? Listen to this, we'll say. When you go ahead and you do an avera, let's say, could a person make up for an avera once they do it? Could a person make up for an avera?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Tshuva.
Yeah, tshuva. And by the way, if you do what kind of tshuva? Tshuva me'ava. Right, what happens to your averas? Nasa sechuyos. See, even with averas, there's the possibility that you could take an avera, you could mamash turn it into a mitzvah. So you could rehabilitate yourself from even the worst of averas. The one thing you can never make up for is wasted time. Tshuva, in other words, I'll say, tshuva, which is the most powerful force in the world, right? Tshuva could make up for anything. Tshuva could atone for anything. Tshuva can make amends for anything. But the one thing that even tshuva can't help you with, I will say, the one thing that even the Ribono Shel Olam kivyachol can't help you with is what? Wasted time. Tshuva can't give you that back. The Ribono Shel Olam kivyachol doesn't give you that back. I'm sorry?
He could
do anything, but he doesn't. Moshe could do anything. But the way the world works is, if you waste it, you waste it. That's it. Let's say, isn't that incredible? Wasted time is the one thing you can never get back in this world. He says, "Bitalta ezes man, if you waste time, ye be'inecha shechatachto chaticha milibecha v'shlachto lefnei klavim." Now, Moshe, you know that this is uncharacteristic for the Piaget not to speak this way. Right, the Rebbe is usually so much more mild in his Lashon, and so much more loving in his Lashon. He says, if you waste time, it's as if you've cut out a piece of your heart and thrown it before the dogs. Again, trying to impress a severity upon us. So we'll say, okay, so now, the severity of wasted time, and how we need to account for all of our time. So we'll say, so what happens, but a person can't be, not going to be learning all the time. Right? Or again, just in general, again, for, especially for those of us who are not learning the whole day and running between things, it's so easy to waste time here and there, not even intentionally. It just ends up happening. So that means, what should you do? At the time that you can't learn, think about Torah. So what says in this? Rebbe says, Chazar Sashatz. Again, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Chazar Sashatz, what should you do during Chazar Sashatz? I'll give you a hint. The answer is not to talk. Right? What should you do during Chazar Sashatz? You're supposed to pay attention. Rebbe says, what if you can't pay attention? Never. It's hard sometimes, right, to pay attention. She says, okay, learn. Shulchan Aruch says, you're not supposed to learn during Chazar Sashatz. Piaget says, if it's a choice between wasting time and learning, learn. Even during Chazar Sashatz. Tachshov, im lo tivat lecha machshav min lishma v'lanos mosh amin. So again, obviously there are certain obligatory responses during Chazar Sashatz. So learn, do whatever you have to do to keep your mind focused. Umikol shekein, b'sha shat ha-holech b'shuk, tia machshav techa v'libcha kivuim be'ez ha-dvar Torah k'niz kalael. Ki chutz mizeh, shetachzik b'zeh es machshavat ha-kdusha, she'igr tachlis chavrasinu ha-kdusha, av tinotzel b'zeh gam mikol dovera chas v'shalom. So I will say, this is incredible. So the Piagetsna says, keeping your mind occupied with Torah does two things. Number one, prevents me from wasting time. What else does it do? It also prevents me from engaging in things that I shouldn't be engaged in, right? Which is an incredible yisod as well. Not only should I not go ahead and, right, allow my mind, I should be learning, if I'm not learning Torah, be otherwise Torah engaged in order to, number one, use my time wisely and chas v'shalom not come to aver. So we'll say, what do we do with something like this? So what do we do? Because you see something like this and it's beautiful. I wish I was the kind of person who was always thinking about Torah. But I'm not. So what do I do with a paragraph like this of the Piaget? So I will say, I think one of the ways that we could apply it to our own lives is, a person should always be productively engaged. That's the yisod. In other words, halavai, I should always have my mind in Torah one way or another. For some of us, it's not shayach that it's going to be like that, at least not for now. But at least I could avoid the wasting of time by being productively engaged. I would say, is this not an important question? How much time do we kill? Right? How much time do we just waste doing nothing? Okay, I can't learn all the time. Fine, I'm going to learn what I'm going to learn. I would say, what it does mean, by the way, is that when we do learn, we should be focused on our learning and not distracted by anything else. But when I'm not learning, be productively engaged. Make sure time is used wisely. Because also we know this. Think about it just a moment. Think about the last time you committed an Avera. You're like, that was like 3 minutes ago, right? Not the last time you committed an Avera. We'll say, you know how Avera happens? Kind of hard to ask you. How does Avera happen? How does Avera happen?
Time.
Right? Time. When you're busy, isn't it fascinating, right? If you have a crazy day, no one ever says, I had such a crazy day, but I found time to look at something inappropriate. It doesn't happen, right? I had such a crazy day, you know, but I still spoke Lashon Hara. It's an interesting thing. When you're busy, especially when you're productively busy, you're not getting yourself into trouble. So the Piaget then says, yeah, it's beautiful to always have your head in Torah. But if for some reason that's not shayach or not possible where I'm holding in life, be productively engaged at any time. At any time. Not only is it good for the building of your ruchnius, but it's also good for the avoidance of sin. And I will say, this leads us to paragraph Yud Gimel. This is incredible. And I will say, these are sister concepts. Watch this. This is incredible. Tiktav kitzva l'chol ma'asecha. I will say, you know how you translate that? Make a schedule. Everything in life should be scheduled. And everything in life should have an allotted time. Bas alecho, you came home to eat dinner or to eat lunch. Tiktav mikodem chatzi shah or rav shah eshav achilasi. How long are you sitting down to eat dinner? Right? Again, Bachran, I'm saying this to you guys also. No one needs 2.5 hours in between morning seder and afternoon seder. No one needs that. I don't care how slow you eat or not. Right? Again, how much time you're eating, right? You want to play a little bit of ball, want to take a little nap, fine. But schedule it. I'm going to eat this amount. I'm saying to the Bachran, Malach has come for the rest of us also, right? No one needs to sit at the table for hours on end. So how long am I going to, I'm coming home for dinner. How long is dinner? I'll go spend time with your family and things like that. But how long? I'm going to eat lunch. How long is lunch? And again, let's say this is everything. I'm going to read the newspaper. How long? Every task has to have an amount of time attached to it. Because I will say again, this is the culinary concept. Because if you do that, if your day is scheduled, first of all, you begin to realize how much time you really have to accomplish in life and how much time you really have to do many beautiful and incredible things. And scheduling and filling up my time also prevents me from making dramatic mistakes. You're going to your friend's house to shmooze a little bit, which is beautiful, right? He says, to add that in the PhD, that says, why are you going over to your friend's house? Because you can't learn right now. Okay, so you can't learn right now. You're going over to your friend's house, fine. He says, "Tiktzav mikodem zman kazeh esha sham v'lo yoseh." Tell yourself, how long am I going to shmooze with my friend? How long is it going to be? It's going to be 15 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, whatever amount of time you want to ascribe to it. But give yourself a beginning time, give yourself an end time. Im ein zeh siach shel chasidus. Now, the exception, of course, if you're going over to your friend's house to learn chasidus, that you don't have to create a schedule for. And I will say, now the truth is, really, really, you should create a schedule for everything. I will say, this is a... I'll give you an interesting exercise, I will say. So he's talking about over here, like prospectively, right? Again, I should schedule my day out. It's an interesting exercise if you go back a day and write out your schedule, how you spent your day, right? Try to account for every single moment of the day. It's an interesting thing that what you'll find is there's time you can't account for. Now, I know I wasn't playing golf, but I wasn't staring at the sky. I know I was doing something, but there's a problem when you can't account for your time. There's a problem when you can't say, okay, between 2 and 3 on a Wednesday, I don't know what I was doing. The goal of successful living, and I will say, I know sometimes you hear something like this, and what's going through your mind? Piaget, I just sometimes I just want like I want to chill, right? I just want to relax. The PHS it says, no problem, just put that in the calendar, 2 to 3 p.m. chill. In other words, you could put that in. You could put that. In other words, of course, everyone has to have downtime and everyone has to have relaxation. Just like he includes over here the example of talking with your friends. Everyone has to have their. No one could be all energy, all engaged, all the time. Everyone needs downtime. Schedule it. Schedule it, right? How long are you doing this for? How much on both sides? It's actually interesting. You then begin to see something amazing as well, which is you begin to see how much time you're allotting for everything. And it may be that when you see, wow, that was 4 hours for a baseball game. That was 5 hours for an afternoon of football. Like, wow, that's a lot of time. And is that, now again, nothing wrong with football if you like grown men in tight pants jumping all over each other. Right? Whatever. I think it's weird, but that's fine. But if you want to die, right? But Lamaisa, right? That is what it is. That's essentially what it is. Right? But Lamaisa, like, think about it for just a moment. Imagine looking back at your schedule and you see that on a day from 2 to 7 on a Sunday afternoon, I was on a couch. I was on a couch watching. Not that there's anything wrong with watching a sporting event. There's not. But the Shaila is, in the grand scheme of life, is that the right way to use 5 hours of existence? Now, by the way, maybe the answer sometimes is yes. Because maybe, again, I'm connecting with my friends, I'm connecting with my family, I'm bonding with my kids. There could be many beautiful explanations.
If they won, yes.
I'm sorry?
If they won, yes.
If they won, yes, right? Yeah. Right, so, again, I'm just pointing it out. It's not a judgment call. It's just an interesting way to look at life. So suddenly, again, I'm looking at the blocks of time, and I'm just wondering, are they being used in the right way? That's all.
Present.
Mindfulness. Right. It's mindfulness. Oh, so much of Hasidus in general is just mindfulness. Correct. And I will say, all it does is just makes me aware of how I'm spending my time. I might do the same thing, by the way. And like I said, I just want to be clear. I'm not suggesting at all that there's not room in life for a sporting event. Of course, we should enjoy, we should have fun in life, and these things bring camaraderie and they bring a sense of chevreshaft. 100%. What frequency, right? How often I'm doing it, how much time is being allotted to it, that's a serious life question I have to contemplate. So the Rebbe goes on, he says, it means that Sheshgar, Ubichlal Targish es Atzmecha, Kishatzavos is incredible. So I want to say, how should you go through life, says the PHS? How do you go through life? He says, a person should feel like he's a soldier. It's incredible. Ka'ish tzava, sha'ol zula so alav. I want to say, a soldier always has something to do. Right? The soldier always has responsibilities. When he doesn't have responsibilities, okay, he has a little bit of time to sleep, a little bit of time to eat. A person should live life with a sense of responsibility. You know what the PHS says? You know part of the challenge is? Sometimes we're just too relaxed about life. I shouldn't be relaxed about life. I don't know how many years I have in this world. I don't know how much time I have in this world. And I have so much I want to accomplish and so much I want to do. I have to feel like that soldier who has a mission. And I know that I have a mission. Maybe I don't even know what the mission is yet. What I certainly don't know is how much time I have to fulfill the mission. Live life with a sense of urgency. V'chol sha'a dochek es sha'a. Every hour there's something else to do. V'chol ma'aseh rodef es ma'aseh acher. So when you finish one thing, they'll say, you know, in life, we finish something, and then what happens when we finish something? What happens? It's Disneyland, right? You know, like, I'm going to relax a little bit. Good. I need a break. And of course, we all need breaks, of course. But again, when you finish one thing, the follow-up question is, what's next? Always in life, chevra. Always in life. It's what's next? What's next? What's next? You finish this, fantastic. Give yourself a shkoyach, bask in the goal of accomplishment for everyone. And then, what's next? Feel a sense of urgency. Feel a sense of mission. I just want to point out to you how everything, you see, you thought we were behind in the sefer, right? How long were we supposed to finish the sefer in?
Two months.
2 months, right? So we're about 12 months behind. I say, I just want to say the Hashgacha Pratis. There's no better message to learn on Leil Hashanah Rabbah. Right? Tonight, the Ribono Shalom, tonight, tomorrow, right? The Ribono Shalom is sealing our judgment. We have it, Shmini Atzeres. Right? But tonight, tomorrow, the judgment is being sealed.
Chassidus says till Chanukah,
man. Chassidus says till Tu B'Shvat, actually. Right? Even Purim. You have to Elul. So listen to this. So this is selective Chassidus being applied. Right? I just don't understand. if you want to say Ribono Shel Olam, give me a piska tava, give me a good kvittel, right? Allow me to go ahead and have like a chasima tova, good year. Chevra, if I come and say Kosh Baruch Hu, this is the year I'm going to live with urgency. This is the year I'm going to schedule my days. This is the year I'm going to be conscious of my time. Let's say, you can't ask for something if you can't account for how you're going. Imagine your kid comes to you, right? And your kid says, I don't know, do kids get allowance anymore? Or they just have like a, you know, what is it? I pay, right? Whatever it is. Right?
Credit cards.
Hey, imagine for a second, right? Your kid comes to you and asks you for an increase in allowance, right? What's the first question you're going to ask them? What's the first question? What do you need it for? So I come up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for weeks, right? Zachrinu l'chaim, melech chafetz b'chaim, give me life, give me, hav, give me. Bon Shalom says, okay, I'm happy to give you. What are you going to do with it? Just show me, I'm happy to give you life. Bon Shalom, of course, wants to give us every bracha. All that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to us, if I give you the bracha, what are you going to do with it? So if tonight, say, Bon Shalom, here's the deal. You give me life, and what I promise to do is I promise to schedule it correctly. I promise to utilize it wisely. I promise to go ahead and account for my time. The relaxation time as well. But I promise to account for everything. I'm going to make my daily schedule. I'm going to make sure that time is not wasted. I'm going to make sure that I feel like that soldier lives with a sense of urgency. I will say, that is the key. That is the key to a good kvittel. That is the key to the piskatava. That is the key to getting another year of life. Just asking is not enough. Asking and pledging that if I get it, this year I'm going to utilize the gift even better, that's the schos. We'll say last piece, paragraph Yudalad. This is great. We'll say this is all the same theme. Leilo Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos. Now, some of you may not like this, but listen to this. How should you spend your Friday nights and Matzah Shabbos? Look at the Piaget and it says, she says, Shalimos Achorif, winter Shabbosos. Winter Friday night. I was saying, get ready for this. What should you do on a winter Friday night? Says the Piyajetzna, Lo Ya'avru Alecha Levatala. Don't waste time. What does that mean? Lo Taktim Lishkov Bohem Kodem Sha'a Yudalif. Don't go to sleep before 11 o'clock. Right? Unless you wear a diaper and use a pacifier, you do not need to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night. Right? No adult needs that. And when a person does that, what they're doing, I will say, is they're wasting time. They're saying, now again, it doesn't have to be 11, maybe 10. Right? Okay, again, the point of Piaget saying, right? Winter Shabbos is fantastic, right? I'm in bed. I've heard people say this, I'm in bed by 7 o'clock.
Slept the bagel.
And people say it like it's an accomplishment. I say, like, look at me. So, like, oh, good. So you're pretty much like a bear, right? So you and a bear could do the same thing, right? A bear, which is just a gelatinous, like, mound, right? So you're a gelatinous mound that could go under the covers for 12 hours and nothing could move you. So which part of that are you proud of? Right? Which part of that is the accomplishment? What's good about that? Let's say, if somebody were to tell you that on Friday night, when you finish the Yasuda, you have nothing else going on, open a Chumash, open a Sefer, do something productive with your life. Because one day, I'm going to go up to Shema after 120, and Shabbat is going to say, you needed those extra 4 hours of sleep between 7 and 11 on Friday night? And no, you didn't. Watch a little less Netflix during the week and you'll get more sleep at night also. There's plenty of opportunities. It's Hoshana Rabbah. It's Hoshana Rabbah. I must say, it's late. It's Hoshana Rabbah. And it's like, I must say, it's time for us to get serious about life. We're not getting any younger. And the truth is, another year has gone by and another year is in front of us. So we could keep doing the same stuff, right? We could keep doing the same stuff and just keep living the same lives. And yeah, of course, there's some nice stuff and there's some good stuff. But most of us, if not all of us, are underperforming. And we simply give ourselves a pass because we think that doing a little bit of good is enough good. Or doing a little bit more good than the next guy, that makes me even better. Bechevra, we're capable of such incredible things. We're capable of such dynamic accomplishment. But yes, we have to push ourselves. And pushing yourself means that sometimes, again, you make wise decisions about how you spend your time.
So it means sometimes giving up certain things because what I could gain is so much greater. Now again, okay, a person falls asleep at 9 o'clock on a Friday night. Is that the end of the world? No, no. But you understand what the spirit of the Piaget is trying to say, is that a good Shabbos is not a Shabbos in which you can get 12 hours of sleep on a Friday night. Again, to be clear, Shina b'Shabbos Tainug, like sleeping on Shabbos is a beautiful, is a good thing, is a rewarding thing. It's part of the mitzvah of owning Shabbos, like everything else in life, in moderation. If that becomes what it's all about, then I'm losing out on so much. So the Piaget goes on, he says, V'zachar bahem es barecho lahavdil es barecho. He goes on, he says, he does say, if you do want to go to sleep early, he says, Imlo sherotza ata lahatim lako mashmos haboker. Right, if you're getting up very early for davening the next morning, you're davening nates. Okay, so if you're davening nates at Enoch Inami, you could go ahead and go to sleep early. But otherwise, right, I think it even has to be earlier than Ashkenazi, right? You know, that's right. Right, you're waking up early. So fine, that's an excuse to go to sleep. But otherwise, v'zachar bahem es barecho lehavdil es barecho. I will say, this theme is the same. In your bays, your gimel, your dalet, it's all the same theme, which is, I will say, time is a finite, non-renewable resource. And how important it is for us just to be able to account for how we use our time, to make sure we're always maximizing our time, and to recognize that time is the greatest gift that we receive from the Ibn Shalom. We'll say, last piece, and we finish the section. It's actually very exciting. Finish the section, Piaget stands off, and he says as follows. He says, "Be'inyane ava v'yirodol dibarna bepratios." He does make an interesting observation here. Piaget says, if you notice, by the way, I have not spoken at all about Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem, about what it means to revere HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and what it means ultimately, again, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We haven't spoken about that. Why not? This is incredible. Why not? He says, Ki be'emes kol nefesh Yisrael Yira v'heves Hashemim. Boaz said, this is incredible. Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem are not things you have to learn. They're already embedded inside of you. They're already there. He says, Varak, Kevan shekvurba machatzela shalkanim, uftimuna baguf, gam ahavasa vir asa timuna. So we'll say, what's the problem? The problem is, Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem resides in my neshama. The problem is that often my neshama is buried deep. His lashon over here is, it's buried underneath a mat of reeds, right? Timuna baguf, it's hidden inside of the body, and therefore, as a result, Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem are hidden as well. However, he says, umishi yisnaik niska la'el, Liglos es nishmasel, but someone who follows the steps that we have outlined in this sefer up until this point to reveal his neshama, gam avaso, gam yiraso la Hashem, yira tahora tiskala bezos Hashem. But I say, this is incredible. This is so beautiful. You don't have to learn avas Hashem and yiras Hashem. You don't have to learn that. What do you have to do? If you just uncover your neshama, the yira and the ava are revealed memela. They come out by themselves. Such an incredible yesod of Osei. The problem we have sometimes with a feeling of love or connection or reverence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that I don't possess these traits. It's that these traits reside in my soul, and my soul is so often buried underneath multiple layers of stuff. I will say, what's the avoda of this entire sefer? I will say, remember, go back to the beginning of the sefer. Piaget said, what's our goal? And in a relationship sense, what's our goal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's our goal? To become like a ben, excellent, to become like a son. Too often we're like what? Servants, right? In Evan, now both a servant and a son both serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the difference? What's the difference between servant and son?
One's closer.
Proximity. The servant is at a distance, the son is right near. The entire goal of the Piagetzna is to allow us to come close. And how do you come close like a son? By uncovering the neshama. And how do you uncover the neshama? I will say everything we've learned. So like, for example, tonight, the whole Yisrael, how do you uncover the neshama? Use well-balanced spiritual diet of all bodies of knowledge in Torah. Focus on Chassidus because it doesn't speak to your mind, it speaks to your heart and soul. Use time wisely. Schedule wisely. Hold yourself accountable. Avoid wasted time at all costs. Make sure that you are always productively engaged in one way or another. Feel a sense of urgency in your life. Be a man on a mission. And when you finish one mission, get ready for the next one. Accomplishment after accomplishment, goal after goal. And if we follow those steps that Piaget says, you'll discover the most incredible thing. You'll discover and you'll uncover your neshama. And when you uncover and discover that neshama, the Yiras Hashem and the Avas Hashem just comes pouring out. So I will say, Mazel Tov on finishing this section. Next week, we're not finished with the Sefer yet. Next week in Yiras Hashem, we're going to talk about again, now that we've learned it, we're going to see the next part, we'll say, is that we have to sign a shtar. We draw up a document. Piaget, you draw up a document. There's a Kabbalah, a document that we all commit to upholding the tenets of what we've learned in B'nai Makshava Tava. We'll review, so you know what it is, what you're signing. There's a Nosach HaKabbalah, which we'll talk about. We'll go through it. We're going to print it out, send it out on the email. It'll be a Google Doc.
His yard site is Pashas Noach.
Pashas Noach. Maybe we'll maybe we should do the Kabbalah then.
You gotta make a push.
Oh, okay, so we're gonna Matzah Shabbos Noach.
I think it's Matzah Shabbos. I'll get the exact.
Okay, so Chaver, we're gonna make a push in Mirat Hashem the next couple of weeks to finish this. And Chaver, then you know, just again, once again, our ultimate goal is we're gonna make the Kabbalah. We're gonna all of us are signing on to the Kabbalah. And I will say, then our goal with this is, I'm not sure what to do. Part of me feels that we should start from the beginning again and just like review it once more, just to concretize and just solidify. Second time we'll go faster. After you sign the Kabbalah. And I will say, just to be clear, the goal of the Sefer is not this. This is beautiful. This is fantastic. This is not the goal of the Sefer. The goal of the Sefer, of course, is to break up into smaller groups. Right, and then again, for those smaller groups to meet on a frequent basis, we'll discuss that next week, and to work on a particular avoda each month. So, but let's say tremendous accomplishment on Hoshana Rabbah. On Hoshana Rabbah, to finish off the primary part of B'nei Machshava Tova is a ridiculously amazing zuchus for us, for our mishpachas, the Piyajetzna, our Rebbe. The Piyajetzna is our Rebbe. Our Rebbe should go before the Beis Nishamala. Satan comes in always. So we ask our Rebbe, the Piyajetzta, to go before the Beis Shamal, to advocate for us. And he should see that we're his Tamidim. And we see how seriously we take our Ruchnias, how seriously we take our growth, how seriously we take our development. And Halavai, the schus of finishing off the primary part of the Sefer on El Hashanah Rabbah, should seal us for a year of life, a year of bracha, a year of simcha, and Meretz Hashem Halavai, a year of geula for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen. I want to say, if everybody can please be sure to bring their garbage in the garbage can.
See ya.